The Island Digest is a sampling of the stories in this week's Journal of the San Juans, Islands Sounder, and Islands Weekly, which are on newsstands now. The September 6th edition is brought to you by Orcas Center. I'm Caleb Summers. Headlines from the week of September 6th, 2023. Saving the Gregarious Sunflower Stars. Orcas helps out islanders thousands of miles away. Orcas Food Bank raises funds for Maui Food Bank. Fall Native Wildflower Sale. Plus, excerpts from the Sheriff's Log. First, from the Journal of the San Juan Islands, Saving the Gregarious Sunflower Stars, by Heather Spaulding. Faceless and still, it would be easy at first glance to miss the tiny tube feet and mistake a sunflower sea star as part of the rocks they quietly rest upon. But these are social creatures and can move at 40 inches per minute. They have been nearly wiped out in California by sea star wasting disease. Of all the sea stars, the sunflower star was hit the hardest, said Jason Hoden, senior scientist at the University of Washington Friday Harbor Marine Laboratories. Hoden's scientific career had early roots in the Friday Harbor Marine Labs, where he was a student in the 1990s. He has been researching sunflower sea stars since 2019, after the Nature Conservancy contacted him about a sunflower star reintroduction project. The species typically can be found in the intertidal and subtidal zones from Baja, Mexico to the Aleutian Islands in Alaska. In California, however, there are very few left. Sunflower stars are almost completely gone from California. They are functionally extinct, he said. Functionally extinct means there are not enough left to reproduce. At about the same time sunflower stars declined, bull kelp also began disappearing. Scientists like Hoden realized there was a lot about these animals that humans do not know, knowledge gaps regarding entire aspects of their lifestyle. It is amazing how little work has been done on sunflower star larvae, and there have not been a lot of publications on their life cycle, Hoden said. If reintroduction is to occur, there needs to be a deeper understanding of sunflower stars, sea star wasting disease, and the impacts of ocean temperatures. The blob, a mass of unusually warm ocean temperatures off the coast of California, Oregon, and Washington a few years ago, could also have contributed to species decline. It all may contribute, and in California, we are still seeing the effects, Hoden said. When considering reintroduction, taking a good look at how the sunflower stars handle warmer temperatures is key. The causes of sea star wasting disease are unknown, according to Hoden, although it appears to be an organism that reproduces similarly to a virus. Bacteria, fungi, or a combination are also possibilities. Symptoms include white lesions, tissue decay, body fragmentation, and death. There is work being done in a lab in Olympia, Washington, to find the answers, according to Hoden. If it is a virus spread by close contact, it would explain why sunflower stars were hard hit. Looking at 2- and 3-year-old stars in Hoden's lab, all are knit closely together, arms touching. They are very gregarious animals and touch each other a lot. When we introduce a new one, they have a meet and greet, Hoden said. They are not wearing masks and there is no vaccine, he added wryly. In the Friday Harbor Lab's sunflower star nursery, the tiny stars are barely visible. At this stage, they only have 5 arms. As they grow larger, more arms appear. The young starfish feed off baby urchins, which Hoden and his team have learned to raise. They are also fed what Hoden calls oyster flour. The recipe includes crushed oyster shells with baby oysters on each one. Hoden and his team have discovered the young stars are voracious. One of the many things researchers are learning as they fill in the life cycle gaps is that younger stars may consume 5 to 10 times more urchins on a daily basis than adult stars. If that is correct, a lack of young stars could play a role in increased urchins. Urchins feed on kelp, so an abundance of urchins could damage kelp forests. The researchers are also discovering eelgrass plays a big role in the young stars' lives as well. Like kelp, eelgrass has also declined in some areas. To find out more about the connection between the two species, the team has been collaborating with local eelgrass specialists. To gain insight into how the stars do in the wild, Hodin and his team have several stars in plexiglass cages throughout the San Juans. Unfortunately, one of those cages went missing after July 31st. Any information can be emailed to labrador@uw.edu. With so much more to learn, the lab could easily become a larger operation. Between water filtration, raising food for the stars, and habitat for the stars themselves, they could easily fill a warehouse-sized building. To help fund the project, a donation site has been created through the University of Washington. To donate, go to together.uw.edu/campaign/seastars. The site has helped out when equipment has broken or other unexpected costs arose. The Nature Conservancy has been visionary by supporting this work and has been carrying out incredible efforts in California, including working with a kelp recovery team. They had a lot of trust in me, and they are working toward real solutions, and it has been amazing, Hodin said. From the island's sounder, Orcas helps out islanders thousands of miles away. Fundraiser for Maui brings in $14,000 by Colleen Smith Summers. It's been more than 3 weeks since the catastrophic wildfires in Lahaina on Maui. The confirmed death count is 115, and an unknown number of residents are missing, making it the deadliest wildfire in the United States in more than a century. I was super impacted and affected when it happened. I spent a lot of time living in Hawaii and on Maui, said Brittany Grum, owner of Olga's store in East Sound. The amount of the devastation and loss and history, it's a long road to recovery. It's just so sad. It's horrific what happened there. After feeling deep grief for several days, Grum realized she could take action. She called Hillary Canty, executive director of the Orcas Island Community Foundation, about collaborating on a fundraising effort called Island to Island. As of press time, they had raised nearly $14,000 from business donations, direct gifts, and a silent auction. The money will go to the Hawaii Community Foundation, hawaiicommunityfoundation.org/maui-strong. Grum asked if her fellow store owners in East Sound Square would be interested in donating a portion of their sales during the August 25th night market to relief efforts in Maui. Chamber Executive Director Carrie Eskridge also came on board to help organize the event, which was attended by more than 50 islanders and visitors. Attendees enjoyed live music, food, shopping, and a silent auction. The food bank and OICF also had a booth for accepting money. We set up direct donations so people didn't feel pressured to buy something, Grum explained. Local businesses that either donated a portion of sales or gave auction items were Sally Bell Designs, Orcas Island Food Bank, Print Shop NW, Westside Kitchen, Clever Cow, Optimism & Co.-Felt Plus Ceramics, Dobe Wine, Olga's, Deer Harbor Charters, Beach Haven, Landmark Inn, Rain Shadow Solar, Dobe Wine Company, Orcas Video, Forest Ceramics, Julie McNeil, Kim Delgarno, Orcas Island Rental Car, SUP Orcas, Salish Sea Skincare, Manifest Nails, Ula Botanicals, Mijitas, and Sequel Consignment. It all just came together. It was a great evening of community, Grum said. Orcus Food Bank raises funds for Maui Food Bank. When we saw the horrific loss of lives, homes, and stores, including grocery stores, in Lahaina, our board and staff wanted to do something to help, said Amanda Sparks, executive director of the Orcas Island Food Bank. We decided to help the Maui Food Bank respond to the emergency increase in demand by raising money for them. OIFB set up a table in East Sound Square on Friday, August 25th, and the community responded, donating $2,154 in 3 hours. OIFB thanks Brittany Grum, owner of Olga's, for inviting OIFB to be part of an event in which businesses on the square donated a portion of their receipts to the Maui Community Foundation. Andrew Youngren, owner of Print Shop Northwest, for organizing the night market, and the businesses for funding live music there. From the Islands Weekly, Fall Native Wildflower Sale. The Salish Seeds Project announces its annual fall native wildflower sale with more plants to choose from than ever. Buyers can reserve plants online September 12th to 17th and pick them up on Saturday, September 30th at locations on San Juan, Orcas, Lopez, Shaw, and Waldron Islands. Plants are produced locally by the Salish Seeds Project, a joint program of the San Juan County Conservation Land Bank and the San Juan Preservation Trust. This year's sale also features some wonderful native bulbs provided by the San Juan County Master Gardeners Foundation. Choosing native species for landscaping supports pollinators, wildlife, and water conservation. When the sale opens online at 9 a.m. on Tuesday, September 12th, look for the Wildflower Sale tab in the menu bar of the Land Bank's website, sjclandbank.org. In the meantime, an advance guide to the sale, featuring plant descriptions, photos, and prices, is available now on the Salish Seeds Project webpage, also accessed through the Land Bank's website. Old favorites are back, including nodding onion, red flowering currant, Douglas aster, common camas, Henderson's shooting star, and western dog violet. New offerings include native grasses, lance leaf sedum, harvest brodia, and salmonberry. A very special wildflower meadow mix seed packet is available. Also new this year, all potted plants come in plantable, fully biodegradable cow pots instead of plastic. The price per plant offsets the cost of production, allowing the land bank to provide this community service. Quantities are limited. Shop early to avoid disappointment. And now, a few select excerpts from the San Juan County Sheriff's log. On August 23rd, a Lopez deputy responded to a theft call. A porta-potty was taken from the property of a Lopez business. The matter is under investigation. Now, I'm a little bit speechless about this, but I just hope that the perpetrator here is apprehended, because honestly, I'm a little more concerned about the kind of person that would steal a porta-potty over the actual porta-potty itself. On August 24th, a deputy was dispatched to a traffic accident in the Friday Harbor area where a vehicle had struck numerous signs and a parked vehicle. A Lopez deputy responded to a report that an individual who found a cell phone in a ditch did not attempt to locate the owner. Instead, they used it for 3 weeks. When confronted by a deputy, they turned over the lost phone, which was returned to the owner. On August 25th, an Orcas deputy was dispatched with Orcas Fire and Rescue to a possible accident injury in East Sound. Responding units learned that a parked and unoccupied motorcycle had been struck by a vehicle pulling out of a parking spot. No one was injured. Did the person pulling out of the parking spot not look to see if there was a human attached to the motorcycle, or did they just assume they were stuck underneath? On August 26th, a Lopez deputy was notified of hit-and-run damage to a mailbox. The involved vehicle is a light green Subaru missing the passenger side mirror. Perhaps they can do a lineup of all the light green Subarus on Lopez and try to match whatever passenger side mirror they may have recovered at the site. And that concludes the Island Digest for the week of September 6th, 2023. The Island Digest is brought to you this week by Orcas Center. Orcas Center is your place for fun and intrigue this summer, with live concerts, performances, art openings, and more. To check out upcoming events and purchase tickets, visit www.orcascenter.org. Thank you for listening to the Island Digest, a small sampling of what's in your local print newspapers this week. The Journal, Sounder, and Weekly rely upon advertising, subscriptions, and donations to support our mission of high-quality community journalism. To contribute, visit our websites or email publisher Colleen Smith Summers at csmith@soundpublishing.com. Thanks for tuning in, and come back again next week for more local news from San Juan County, Washington. I'm Caleb Summers.